It's 8:07 Thursday morning, being joined by my co-host of the day, Mark Pitts, of course, news director. Shouldn't you be doing news? I guess.
Oh, right. Okay, see you, bye.
Just kidding.
Wait, I didn't sign up for the whole day of co-hosting. Wait a second. Back the truck up there a little bit.
Oh, yes. Of course, we do have a special guest, community conversation with Charles City Police Chief Hugh Anderson in studio as well. Good morning, Hugh.
Morning, guys. I don't know about special anymore, but I guess I'm a guest still.
Well, you are a special guest. You're only in here about once a month, so we got to call you special, right? So, of course, lots of things to talk about, whether it be distracted driving. We'll be talking about the swatting at the schools happening recently. Of course, spring cleanup on the topic list as well. But first and foremost, we're getting a lot of scams in the community. Talk about that and ways to combat that.
We are, and you're completely right that scams lately have just picked up, and it seems like they've picked up exponentially. And they're targeting our elderly population. They're more at risk, I think, of this. And not just because they're elderly, but because they have the time at home and they're answering the phone and everything else. So what we're seeing is they're telling them that they are in trouble. They've either been scammed already once and now they need to pay to get out of that scam. And they can't call law enforcement and not to tell their banks anything. And they actually give them very specific instructions on how to go about getting the money from their banks. And it's an education thing we need to do, not just with our at-risk population, but also I think with the banks. Because when I'm saying we're getting scammed, it's not for, you know, a couple hundred dollars. We had one that was $149,000. The check actually got written out, almost got sent. We had another one, $20,000, that got sent. We had one for $14,000 the other day. So these are fairly large amounts of money. And so it's a thing we need to somehow get out to the population that if someone calls and says that you're getting scammed and they're from the FBI or they're from local law enforcement. So many of these have been told that they were being called from the Charles City Police Department. If we're calling you, we are not going to demand money. So we're there to help you. We're paid by your taxes. We are not requiring you to pay us to come out and help you. So if somebody's saying they're from the Charles City Police Department, and usually it's a female, and if it's not Elizabeth, then it's not from our department. But also, if they're saying they're from the FBI and not to contact local law enforcement, that should seem strange to a person. And we encourage you, if you get any type of calls like this, hang up and give us a call. They do not want you to hang up. So they kept one person on the phone overnight for 9.5 hours until this person could get the money and get it sent. So the reason they're doing this is because they don't want them to be able to contact anybody. So they're going to keep them on the phone. And then the entire time they can't contact family, they can't contact law enforcement, and they can't contact their banks. So I guess just I encourage people, if you think that it just sounds a little bit strange, they're very, very good at this. They know family members. They do all their research. Do not send money. And we're never going to request money. The FBI is not going to request money. The IRS will never call you on the phone and request money. So if the IRS is going to do anything, it's going to be through a letter. And if they're going to do it otherwise, it's going to be in person, which you probably don't want to see him knocking on your door. So they don't do anything over the phone either. But the big thing is I think we need to probably, as a department, get over to the banks and do some education also, because these are cashier's checks, so they're signed by two different individuals at the bank. And I just feel like, you know, it might be a place where they can try to help stop this too, because except for the grace of a couple of very sharp employees out at Triumph Surplus, that $149,000 would have been sent through UPS, and they had the foresight to give us a call, and that one got stopped and saved that person probably their life savings. So I guess the big thing is on the scams is just call us. We're always there to help you. We'll tell you one way or another. We'll come out. We'll come to your bank. We'll come to your house. So,
and that's a big thing about the Charles City Police Department is if you have questions on stuff like this, I mean, you're there 24, well, not specifically you, but officers are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just for situations like this. So call and ask.
Right.
Yep. And just general rule of thumbs, that never give out your personal information, social security correct number, bank accounts over the phone.
Correct.
I mean, first and foremost.
So, right. And a lot of times what they're going to do is they're going to say, hey, you've won something, or you just got compromised at your bank. I want to verify your bank account. Give me your bank account number. I'm going to verify what I have. If they have it, they don't need to ask it from you. So do not give out. Very good point, Mark. Just don't give any information out. A lot of times they're calling and they're actually going to have some of that information. So they do their research through the internet. They do their research and finding stuff. They're going to know who your kids are, who your spouse is. And sometimes they even have your bank account information already. Yeah. And if that does happen, good point, Mark. If you accidentally do give out your information or they actually give you your routing number or even just your bank name, contact your bank. Most of the local banks here in town will put a watch on your account or change your accounts. But good point there.
So. And of course, you got the threats too. Like, for instance, my sister a couple of months ago got a call regarding me and me having an arrest warrant out. You know, so I was supposed to call
again?
This. I know, right? And I'm like, well, that's kind of funny. We just spoke
that one
to
might
you
have been
the other
true.
Day, and he didn't say a word about it. But nonetheless, yeah, you got to be mindful of that too.
You're right, and a lot of times they'll say that they'll contact people and elderly people and say, hey, your grandkid's in jail. Down, they went on spring break, especially big there around spring break. They went on spring break, and they're down in jail in Mexico. And to get them out, I need this much money. I'm from the State Department, and you need to send me this money. And most of these scams generate out of other countries also. So once that money is sent, it's pretty much impossible to get it back if it's a cashier's check or anything else. So
tough lesson to learn, that's for sure.
It is.
So let's talk about the, of course, we had a swatting the other day at not just Charles City Schools, but a number of state schools. Talk about what swatting is and how you responded to that.
Okay, so swatting is unfortunately something that's becoming more rampant here through the nation. So you're trying to get the SWAT team is sort of what it is. You're trying to get them to actually come to a facility or to a house. So it doesn't just, I guess, happen to schools or to factories or anything else. They'll call and say, hey, I've got hostages. I'm in this address. I'm in this house. And then, of course, we respond there and try to find out if it would happen to be true that there's somebody in there with a gun. It takes a lot of our resources in law enforcement, but it also makes things dangerous for the public. And this last one was they called and said that some people had been harmed at the high school. And at the time, we did not know that they had made the call all around Iowa. The call originated possibly out of Hawaii. And the FBI is actually checking into it just because of the amount of the incidents that happened this time. But they made the call around most of Iowa, and we were aware of one at the time down in Marion. So we approached this one, I guess, not with reckless abandon. It was actually a pretty good training, and we approached it with the school and told them that there's a good possibility this probably isn't a true incident, but we have to treat it as such to a certain degree. And we went through the schools with the school personnel, and it worked out pretty well. And we've had some talks after now with the school on things that we can change and they can change. So it went and turned a possible negative thing into a positive thing, and if further incidents do happen, at least we're going to be able to handle them even in a better way yet. But the students were in no danger. The teachers were in no danger at any time, and it's a learning experience for us and not something we want to repeat for that reason or any other reason, but it was good that we made it through, and I thought most of the things were handled pretty well.
And a lot of the publicity around swatting has come from where maybe I've got a buddy that where they'll call swatting and send them to a location where they're trying to get maybe converge on somebody they don't like or get them, maybe get killed because the law enforcement comes out in force or whatever. And sometimes there's been those cases where maybe somebody wants to, suicide by police, law enforcement.
Right. And so we've always got that in our mind that, if we get called to one of these, is there somebody there with a gun? Is there somebody that wants to end their own life and want us to do it for them? And, or is there somebody just, trying to, exactly like you said, trying to get somebody else in trouble, take out the competition and drug dealing or anything else? So pretty serious situations, but
crazy. That's the world we live in. So let's talk about distracted driving. Of course, the STEP program is coming up. Talk about that.
So STEP is the Safety Traffic Enforcement Program, and we've participated in it since it was actually started, and it's been a lot of years now, 20-some, I think. And It's basically we're trying to get officers saturate for different offenses. And it started out mainly as seatbelts when it first started. And then as child restraint came in. And this one is focused on exactly like you just said, Chris, it's on distracted driving, whether it be intoxicated driving, whether it be using electronic devices, whether it be driving under the influence of an illegal substance. So officers are out there, not just us, the sheriff's department's out, the state patrol's out, other agencies all over the state are out. And there's different waves we do this in, and you're completely right. One of those waves right now, we're in the middle of it, and you've probably seen officers out doing quite a few different traffic stops. So what we do is it helps out the department, and our participation in it goes on a national scale, and it gets recorded all the way with NHTSA, and we end up getting our car cameras out of it. We get our preliminary breath testers out of it, and we get different things through the grant. So it helps the department, it helps the city with those grants, and it also helps keep the public safe, just knowing that we're out there doing enforcement. So
I've always wanted to ask law enforcement, with the crackdown on distracted driving, what I find odd that hasn't been, I guess, I don't know, maybe there is a law against it, but maybe people just don't observe it. People driving with pets on their lap in the front seat. Is that, why is that not illegal? When we talk about distracted driving, I see that. And for one, it's not safe for the pet. If you happen to get an accident, Fido is right. Flying out the door, you know, they should be probably restrained like a child, really.
Right. They do make restraints for pets, but as far as I know, there's no law specifically against that, Mark, but there is the law that says you can't be distracted while you're driving. You can't have anything in your vision and everything else. So, I mean, it can fall under that. But you're right. I think it's one of those things you see Fluffy in the front seat sitting on their lap and they're running back and forth and everything else. So it can be very distracting. So you're completely right. I don't think they've made a specific law against it yet, though, but you might start something.
Well, it seems odd that, again, we focus so much on distracted right. driving and eliminating any top possible distractions, I guess, and that's one that really sticks out in my mind because you see it more often than you realize.
But not only distracting for that driver, but oncoming traffic, too, when those
puppy.
Like somebody's hanging out the side of their window and it just turns out to be Fido. So, yeah, it distracts more than the person driving that vehicle. So let's talk about the pending changes being proposed for parking violations here in Charles City, Hugh.
Yeah, so a lot of things have come down the pipe lately with this. We have changed the parking on Main Street a while back here. And just recently then we discussed the, you know, everything is going up, whether it be the price of eggs, milk, or anything else. And I guess it's no different that the price of parking tickets is also going to go up. So it's a normal parking ticket now will be $25, and which is pretty much in line, not above other cities or municipalities. But the biggest difference will be for the snow parking ticket, and that'll be $50. And it's one of those things we're trying to curb the illegal parking for the snow removals. So trying to get people to, and I think the city council and the department thought that the $15 just wasn't doing it. There's a lot of people that just get multiple ones and then they just pay them. And so to get in line with that and to help with the enforcement of that, there's a lot of work involved in a snow ordinance. It's not a normal, you just go stick the ticket on the windshield and walk away. So that's one where we go and we check after the snowfall, the plows have gone by, we check that night on our midnight shift, and they'll stick one of those orange stickers on the window.
That should be deterrent enough right there. Right. Those things are impossible to get off your window.
They are a little hard even when it's cold out. And then after that, then they're going to come back again. So they're checking them three different times. So they're going to come back on those. So the city council decided to get in line with that with other cities. The other cities have a larger amount. Many of them do for the snow ordinance. And so we've raised the two of those up. So,
and they're not official yet. They've got, I think, one more reading by the city council before they go into effect. You're basically just covering your administrative costs with what you charge for these.
Correct. So there's a lot involved. A lot of tickets don't get paid. And when they don't get paid, there's a $5 fee added on top of that. And then the county treasurer has been very gracious in helping us collect that fee. So they take a part of the fine also. But there is a lot of administrative work on our end and also on their end for those.
All right. One of my favorite topics, of course, is spring cleaning. And I believe it's spring, even though it's 26 degrees. Talk about spring cleanup coming up, the dates, and some reminders on that.
Yeah, so we're coming up quickly on that, April 29th through May 6th. And we're going to do it as we've done it here in the last couple of years past. And, excuse me, we're going to have you drop off out at Shaw Avenue. So you'll be able to bring a truckload out there. You'll be able to bring your furniture, your garbage, your trash, toys, whatever. And we'll sort them into dumpsters out there. There'll be some street department guys out there. They do a great job here in the last couple of years in helping out with that. The big thing is right now is we have a lot of people that already set them out on the curbs. They're going to have to clean that up. That's the reason, one of the reasons that we tried to get it out at Shaw Avenue is it sort of makes our town unsightly there when we have trash sitting on the curb. Well, some of this has been sitting out for a couple of weeks already, and now we've got almost the entire month left before we get to spring cleanup. So if you have stuff sitting on the curbs, please put it out behind your house or somewhere out of sight, and then when the 29th comes through the 6th, you'll be able to take it out to Shaw Avenue and dispose of it. So our code enforcement and the officers are going to be out hanging the different flyers to remind people to get it off the curbs. People have already put it on there. I noticed I was driving up the avenues the other day and somebody put a bunch of stuff out before that big windstorm. And now it is strewing down three blocks there. And that's one of the other reasons. Now you take it out to Shaw, it's not blowing around and it just makes the town look a little bit nicer. I think this has worked out very well here in the last couple of years. Not quite as convenient. So if you're elderly or you're handicapped, for some reason you do not have the means to get it out to Shaw Avenue, you will be able to call City Hall like in years past, and there's some service organizations that will come and actually help you load your stuff up in their trucks and take it out Shaw Avenue for you. So, but I guess I can't stress that don't put it out on the curb now waiting for them to come and pick it up. They'll come to your house during that time and pick it up then. So
yeah, I have a feeling you'd be getting a ticket before they come pick up your junk.
Yes. So you can call Gendro's. Not an advertisement for them, but you can call them at 228-3525 if you have a roll of carpet, if you have a sofa, if you have mattresses, if you have big items that you would rather not haul out Shaw Avenue, if you want them to pick them up, you can call them and set up a time and they'll actually come to your house and pick up those items. So you can call them. Otherwise, on the flyer there's three different other agencies you can call for all your appliances. And they'll come and pick your appliances up at your house. You don't have to worry about hauling them out either. And most of those are free of charge. I know they're not all free of charge, especially when you get into TVs and monitors. Sure. It costs them, the recycler, money to get rid of those. So they are going to charge to actually pick those up. But it's a nominal fee, and it's so much better than dumping them in our ditches and our waterways. So we get a lot of that. The county gets a lot of that. And it's just disappointing as you're driving around the country or trying to enjoy a park somewhere and somebody dumped their TVs and their microwaves in the ditch. So
I've seen a lot of bags of garbage in there recently.
Yes.
It's just sickening. So it really is. So talking about spring cleanup with Charles City Police Chief Hugh Anderson, let's talk about yard work. You know, we still got the leaves from the fall going on. We should play a game. Is it legal or not legal? Burning leaves.
Well, I thought you were playing, Chris.
Oh, no.
You're going to hit the first buzzer here. No, it's illegal to burn your leaves. Again, Shaw Avenue, a great resource the city has. Most cities do not have this. They only have it open at certain times if they do have it. We have that open all the time. Every day it's open. So if you have leaves, you cannot burn them in your yard. That has been banned for quite a few years now. So if you're burning leaves, you're going to get a knock on the door from the officers. They're going to talk to you about it, make you put it out, and then you're going to spray it down with water, and it's going to be a bigger mess than you had to begin with. So easiest thing to do is bag them up, put them in a box, put them in a crate, take them out to Shaw Avenue, dump them out there. Do not leave your plastic bags out there, because what we do is actually take those and recycle those and turn them into compost, which again is free to the public. If you want to go out there and get compost for whether you want it in your pots to plant, whether you want it in your garden, there's large piles out there. It does have some plastic in, and that's what gets frustrating. The plastic is in there, and you got to clean the plastic out. But if everybody would quit putting their plastic bags in, they wouldn't get ground in, or quit putting their containers in there, quit getting ground in, and it'd be a little cleaner. But it's not bad. Get out there, clean it out, put it in your pots and everything else. You don't have to go to the store then and buy potting soil because it's already out there for free. Yeah.
No open burning in city limits, but recreational fires, your fire pits, are allowed. Now, aren't there some restrictions on what you can burn and can't burn, though?
There are. So exactly, Mark. We can't burn, so you can't burn your leaves, can't burn your sticks in your yard, but you can have a recreational fire. So a recreational fire is different. You still can't burn the leaves in there. You'd be able to burn the sticks. You have to burn natural wood, that is, and it's hard to define natural here, but you can't burn your 2x4s, you can't burn your 2x6s, you can't burn the siding off your house, and you can't burn your dresser because it's made of wood.
I have a feeling somebody's tried that before.
They have. We get a lot of dressers, we get a lot of chairs, we get a lot of everything. So it has to be wood basically in its natural form, and it has to be a fire no bigger than 3 feet in diameter. And the biggest thing with those is they have to be attended. So if we come by and we see a fire out back, your neighbor complains about it and it's burning out there, and you just left it, went inside, and you're watching gun smoke right then, we're going to knock on your door and tell you that you need to probably put the fire out if you're not going to attend it. And that's for a safety reason. We've had fires before that have gotten out of control, but a good recreational fire is good to have. So we try not to, you know, I guess frown on that. If you want to have a recreational fire, just do it in a safe manner. So
like 9 foot tall flames, probably not a safe manner.
No. We try to keep. And the other thing is if your neighbor does complain, like let's say you're burning some wet green wood and it's smoking and it's all going into their house, we will address that also. So you have to, you know, just be smart about it.
Be a good neighbor.
Yeah, in other words. Exactly. So,
right. Anything else, Mark?
I think we've run the gamut.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Great information, Hugh.
Police Chief Hugh Anderson here on KCHA. It is 8:28. We have your North Iowa weather next.